coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio on the Buzz Radio Network.
The ones who died without a name.
Welcome back in the zone. Justin Akery, Pat Bradley, Wally Hall, Matty T, and we go to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us. Michael, welcome back. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing?
We're okay. We were just reading from an article, a column, I guess you would call it, on SI.com. Stuart Mandel, fairly critical of Brett Bielema, as a lot of people have been since his comments last week, and the continuing crusade against pace of play. Thoughts on the issue itself, and then what do you make of Brett Bielema at this point after a 3-9 season and some of these PR gaffes of late?
Honestly, I don't care about the rule. If it passes, great. I don't think it's going to pass. I think offense is too important. I think that it's interesting to see how quickly offensive advocates come out to bash it, ignoring that their team plays defense as well. But it's one of those things where, honestly, I don't care. It's a rule. I'd love to see the defense get some sort of an advantage, but in the grand scheme of things, defense doesn't matter enough to the people in charge, including the NCAA, for this to go through. As for Bielema, he stepped in it, and he stepped in it a couple times. And it's one of those things where, you know, I think the best thing that he could do is to focus on football and kind of get out of his own way.
We have talked a little bit about, he actually was compared in that column to Lane Kiffin, as far as a guy who, you know, maybe opens his mouth when he shouldn't, which is about as big a slap as you can get. That's pretty rough. We haven't talked to you, I don't think, about his hiring at Alabama. The whole thing just seems strange to me. I know it seemed like the first time I've ever seen Saban a little unsure of things after that Auburn loss, and of course they lay an egg in a bowl game too. What do you make of that hiring, and what's your expectation of how much different they'll look, if at all, this coming season?
I think they may do a little bit more tempo stuff, but the fact is Lane Kiffin is the type of guy that Nick Saban likes to work with. And you look at that hire, and it fits with all the other hires, because while everybody else is worried about, well, Lane Kiffin says this and Lane Kiffin says that, Lane Kiffin's a very good teacher of the game of football. Lane Kiffin is a very good recruiter, and that's what Saban likes. And the beauty of this for Lane Kiffin is he's not great talking to people, and he's not very good at being out in front. But he is really good at the football stuff, and he likes to watch hours and hours of film, and he likes to figure out new ways to be a little creative on offense. And now that he feels like he's got a full deck to play with, and I think that's one thing that went unmentioned a year ago, he didn't feel like he had a full deck. He obviously didn't have confidence in his quarterback, and that he tailored his game plans to that lack of confidence in what they could do. I think now we're going to see just how much confidence he has. More important, he knows he has a team that's got a full roster, a roster where, hey, we can let things hang out, and we know the defense is going to have our back. I think everything's going to work okay. So I expect to see him to really do exactly the same things we saw Nussmeier do. A lot of those same things. I think we're going to see O.J. Howard get involved a little bit more. We're going to find receivers. Amari Cooper, I expect him to rebound after a bad year. I think the biggest thing is we're going to find a quarterback, and we'll see. And I think Alabama is going to be interesting because this quarterback situation is going to persist until the fall. But I love this hire. I think it's a good hire. And again, I think he fits outside of the mouth, which everyone focuses on. He fits the mold of what a Nick Saban type assistant coach is, a guy that loves football, only wants to do football, recruits and teaches well.
Michael Felder of BleacherReport.com joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Just had the NFL Combine. I know you're not an NFL guy. You're one of the very few people I know who follow college football as closely as you do and pay no attention to the NFL. However, I do want to get your opinion of Manziel and Clowney, the way they performed, and the perception of them. And seemingly some negativity has come out about Clowney, his work ethic, and his approach to the game mentally. Do you expect that will hurt him in any way on draft day, or you know, from what you've heard, and I don't know if you've been around him or not, what's your anticipation of how he'll translate to the next level?
I think he's going to be fine at the next level. I think the biggest thing for me, and a lot of folks, I have a tough time with the work ethic of a guy when he's in college, because that's your coach's job to get all of the work out of you. Every kid in college doesn't come out and decide they want to spend the extra time. Coaches got to get the work out of kids. And if you let a guy get away with not working, that's on your coaching staff. I think the big thing we saw, and I was talking to Steve White, works for SB Nation, but the lack of development from Clowney was the biggest, the most astounding element. He wasn't getting coaching in college. And once Brad Walling left, he really wasn't getting, you know, he wasn't even getting in the proper stances on rushdowns or on rundowns. And he wasn't doing a lot of development in terms of, he was still using a wide swim instead of a short arm over. He wasn't ripping off the edge to get around the quarterback. He was just running by him. So there's a lot of technique stuff that he's got to learn. I think you get to the next level, you get that polishing. I still think he's the number one player in the draft. He should be the number one player in the draft. You have to pick him. If I'm the Texans, I don't think twice about picking him because I think he's so explosive and has the ability to be so dominant. And I think that ultimately what we're learning is that there's a lot of folks that everybody has different views or they feel strongly about different things. I think a lot of people are worried about if he loves football. We heard Whitlock talk about it. Mike Mayock mentioned the same thing. Look, we'll find out if he loves football or not. And more importantly, we'll find out if he wants to get his behind whooped or not. And I think that's the biggest thing. Love football or not, there's not a lot of guys that enjoy going out there and getting their lunch handed to them on a day-in and day-out basis.
Well, I think Johnny Manziel loves the game, and he says he feels like he's 10 feet tall when he plays. He's obviously not 10 feet tall. He's not even 6 feet tall. Is he tall enough and effective enough, do you think, to play at the next level? And I know Barrett's a big fan of his. We've talked to him about Manziel. Are you a believer in Johnny at the next level?
Yeah, I really – going into September, I thought, man, you know what, this guy's maybe a third, at best, draft pick. He's got so many things he has to work on. And he checked every box that I had. For me, I was looking at him going to the next level, and I was looking at footwork, looking at accuracy, looking at arm strength, looking at staying in the pocket, looking at going through reads, looking at going through progressions. And he did all those things, and he did them very well. And that kind of elevated him. I think he deserves to be drafted in the first round. He's a heck of a quarterback prospect. As far as the height goes, I think the big thing here is going to be, where does he end up? Does he end up in someone that wants to get him under center, have him drop back, stand behind guys with a more traditional pass pro scheme, or are they going to let him sit in the shotgun and he can see? If he's in the shotgun, he's going to be able to see just fine because he can pick his throwing lanes and get the ball out. I think that's one of those things. We see it with a lot of guys. You see it with Drew Brees. You see Russell Wilson, who operates, they don't operate him out of the shotgun as much, but they move him side to side on rollouts so that he's got throwing lanes and he can see what he needs to see down the field. If you do those things for Manziel, he's going to be just fine. He's got the arm strength. One of my favorite throws he made was in the Duke game. He's on the far hash, the NFL's far hash. He's on the NFL's far hash. He throws a 10, 12-yard out to the far side of the field and sticks the throw. And that's those things. You talk about NFL arm strength, that's what you have to have. And I think he's got the ability to do those things. There's no denying that the kid can spin it and that he understands how to play in the pocket. He showed that this year.
Let me ask you a couple things outside the SEC. Peterson to Washington, Sarkisian leaves there and goes to USC. Which guy do you think has the most success immediately? Certainly USC, I would guess, would have a little more in the athletic standpoint as far as what's coming back. But what's your anticipation on how those guys will do in the near future?
I think Chris Peterson was the best hire of the offseason. I think Sarkisian has more immediate success. He's got talent on his roster. He's got guys that he can play. And he gets to recruit a full class of kids next year. He's going to sign a bunch of guys. But he's got some real talent. Leonard Williams is going to be back on that defense. They've got Sua Cravens and Leon McQuay. They've got good players on defense. And Juju Smith, I think, is going to end up playing defense for them too. So they've got some good bodies. And it's going to be exciting to see what he can do. Those kids are going to be excited about football. The coach, they played for a coach that everybody hated. I don't think the players hated him nearly as much as they got told they should hate him by everybody else. But that sort of thing wears on you. And I think now they've got a guy that, while everyone's not in love, it's not the guy that they keep hearing how they're supposed to hate. And so I think that'll go a long way for them. As for Peterson, I'm interested to see how he takes to the water. He had a tough go of it in recruiting early. Just, it's a different dynamic. You go from saying you're going to give a kid a chance to play big-time football to you have kids, he has to recruit kids now that expect to play big-time football, that know they're going to play big-time football, and he needs to figure out how to woo those kids to come play at Washington instead of playing at Oregon or instead of playing at USC or instead of playing at Stanford. He's got to win those kids over. It's a different type of kid. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does it. He's got to change some things this year. But I think long-term he's going to be all right. The big reason I don't pick him immediately, he loses a lot of pieces. I mean, when you lose Austin Seferian Jenkins and Keith Price and Bishop Sankey, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of growing pains. So they've got to find leaders. They've got to find guys to play their brand of football. Going to be interesting, but I like what he's going to – I like the staff that he has up there, and I'm interested to see what they do.
Brian Harsin stopped over here for a few minutes on his way to his alma mater. He is now the head coach at Boise with Peterson's departure. What are your expectations on him? Boise had a pretty pedestrian year this year by their standards. Can he get back to where they have been, or do you think they become less of a story than they've been the last decade or so?
Yeah, I think that I think Harsin's going to be all right, but I've got a feeling that the magic sort of left the building there, and it's not necessarily because they can't catch lightning in a bottle again. But these things have their time. They run their course. If you look at the quarterbacks that they had when they were out there winning all those ball games, and it's tough to get that again. I mean, that's a very tough thing to duplicate when your success is predicated on that. And then you lose your defensive coordinator, and that's another tough loss for them, losing a defensive mind like that. So they've got to find a way to do it. I don't think they're going to see that same level of success, at least not on a consistent basis. I think now what we're looking at in that other group of five with the Mountain West and the AAC, and you've got the MAC and the Sun Belt Conference, just say, I think Utah State this year should be the team that goes and gets that first major bowl bid for them. But I think we're going to see a lot of other teams compete for that bid now.
Very good. Michael, appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up here in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. You guys take it easy.
All right, take care. Right. It's Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com. And, of course, you can always
see
follow their work.
You thought there would be nothing to talk about. It's not football season.
It's always football season.
Always.
There's always questions. I don't know about answers, but we always got questions.
You know, Boise's kind of that team like Wichita. Everybody wants to doubt them because they don't play in a major conference, but they're just really good. Boise's been really good.